Sometimes Neil Gill for breakfast doesn't all fit in between 6 and 9 each morning.
So this is where we put the extra bits. All the bits you may have missed. Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast. Anytime you want on Listener.
Good morning and thanks for joining me on this week's episode of the Triple M Breakfast Podcast. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be catching up with Anthony Bonici. Cassandra Sullivan's going to join us from the Cancer Council. But firstly, the good people at the Salvation Army put on a program where young people learn how to drive, progressing from their L's through to their P's. And of course, if you know about this, you know that you need a lot of hours behind the wheel with a supervised driver. And the call out is on right now for volunteers to help these young people move from their L's to the P's. Emily Gonzalez is from the Salvation Army and she coordinates this program, which I think is absolutely wonderful. And it's not new to Orange, is it, Emily?
No, it has been around for a little while, but I am new to the program. So we've just started back up. And you're right, we do help young people, so 16 to 25-year-olds, and we help them by providing an opportunity and a pathway to some more independence with their license.
Okay, so getting the license for a young person, 16 to 25, yes, we live in regional areas, so there is your first challenge, but the opportunities that then come are quite far and wide-ranging as well.
Yeah, so they can definitely help get to school, get to work. They're not having to rely on mum and dad, don't have to pay for taxis. And as you said, we're in a regional area. Our bus services aren't amazing like Sydney. And our program actually helps people that might not have access to a car or might not have access to a supervised driver. So it helps them build up those hours in the meantime when they're on their learners.
Yep. Okay, fantastic. So getting from L's to P's, this is what we're talking about. So the learner permit, also some, I guess, need help with that.
Yeah, so we help out with the tests and sort of understanding what the test entails, the questions you might be asked, so the driver's knowledge test. And then we also help, once they do get their L's, we build up their hours with them. And then once they get their P's, we also help them with driving skills and things like that so that they can go out and be safe on our roads.
Okay. What you are looking for at the moment are some volunteer supervising drivers. Tell us about who is eligible to be that person and also what their responsibilities as a volunteer would be.
Yeah, so we make it as easy as possible to become a volunteer. We also provide a well-maintained and reliable car. It's all insured. And becoming a volunteer is really rewarding. You get to make connections with young people. You become a positive role model for those young people. And it's really about instilling some good, healthy habits and sharing your knowledge, I guess.
Yep, okay. And so the car's provided, right? We're not asking you to bring your car and then put a young person in it and teach them how to drive.
Yeah, no. So the car is all provided. It's all maintained by us. We send the kids to driving lessons before we put them with a volunteer. So they're definitely confident on the road and they're capable. So all volunteers are safe. It's just about building up hours and helping with those little habits that they learn and the tricks that they learn through the lessons.
It's 120 hours, as I recall. As I understand, because I've got a boy that's going from 15 to age 16 this year. So we'll be starting on that journey ourselves at our place, and that's not too far away. So it takes a bit of time for these kids to build up their hours. And if you volunteer, you're not expected to do the whole 120 hours, you know, in a matter of weeks or months. It's what you can afford in terms of time.
Exactly. It can be as little as 1 hour a month, to 1 hour every week, building up to if you want to do it every day. It's really dependent on each individual volunteer and how much they can help. And we're not going to push anyone into doing more than they can.
Okay. How many kids are in the program at the moment and where's the imbalance lie with regard to volunteers? Ideally, how many volunteers do you need to meet that balance of kids?
Well, we have sort of, so obviously being new to the role, it has been on hold for a little while, but our wait lists are filling up every day.
Right, okay.
We're working with a couple of the local high schools. So we work with Orange High, Knobulus. We're also working with the Orange Youth Hub and getting our name out there that way. At the moment, we only have 2 volunteers. Okay. So obviously, for us to build up and really support these young people in the community, we need to increase that number as much as we can. Mm-hmm. And as quickly as we can as well.
Yeah, because the more they wait, the more disenfranchised they might become with the notion of getting their licence, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think as well, then sometimes we can slip into bad habits, and breaking those habits can be a bit harder the longer that they wait to have these crucial sort of lessons and skill building.
Okay. So if you've got an hour a week, ladies and gentlemen, or 10 hours a week, these young people would love to get driving with you. Who knows, you could make some new friends as well in this, albeit with some 16 to 25-year-olds. And I do apologise, I have been saying kids, but by this stage they really are young adults.
Yeah, so our youth age group, we like to call them.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. Emily, if people are listening to this and think, yeah, I can help, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
So they can either contact me directly on my mobile, which is 0419 846 333, or they can send an email straight through to driveforlifeorange, or one word, at salvationarmy.org.au.
Fantastic. Emily Gonzalez is with us. She's a youth and education coordinator, Drive for Life coordinator with the Salvation Army right here in Orange. Good to chat this morning. I hope we've made a few people think about how they might be able to help out some of our youth in our community. Have a great day.
Yep, thank you.
Neil Gill for Breakfast.
The podcast.
Time now to catch up with Anthony Bonici from brainblinkers.com. And today on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about something we've all, I'm sure, been guilty of. And that is judging a book by its cover, judging someone before you've even said hello to them. And he joins us online, mate. It surely is something that we've all been guilty of at some stage in our lives and probably still do.
Yeah, and this extends into all the isms, as we know. And when I talk about it, when I'm doing brain blinkers, it's actually overgeneralizing. Sort of, we get a sense of something, and we're really good as humans, not necessarily at interpreting that, but making a decision within a couple of seconds. So we'll see a bloke with neck tattoos and go, "Oh, he's a bit rough," or we'll see someone with a hijab and make a call about that, or you know, what they're wearing, what they're not wearing. We make our minds up pretty quickly about that. But I mean, we find ourselves. I'm sorry about all the noise here. I'm calling you from the street today, this morning, mate. What we find ourselves, we get stuck a little bit and making calls on things that we really aren't sure about, right? But we make the decision early and then go, okay, well, that's how it is. And I did it myself. Here I am talking about brain blinkers and overgeneralizing and filtering and all this. And the audience I was delivering, it was only this time last week, actually. I had them all day and I had a full day program. They're really smart people, beautiful company, brought them in. It was the first time they'd had some serious, you know, sort of education and training for quite some years. Right. And so I was doing my thing, and I'm judging them subconsciously because they were really quiet. They were attentive, but they didn't look like they were enjoying it at all. Like, and I've been doing this 19 years, so I considered myself a fairly good judge of how things are going. You know, half intelligent, I can go, geez, I need to change what I'm doing, or I need to involve them more. So I did all of that and still got the same response. And it was sort of towards the end of the day when I'm thinking, okay, well, you know what? This might be a time where I've not hit the mark or not done a good job. But sure as hell, by about 4:30, finished it up. And all the clients came around and in their very staid manner, their very quiet faces, nothing had changed. They just came up and said, oh, that's the best training we've ever had in our life. And I went, oh my gosh. Didn't pick it at all. I thought they were going to come and say, well, this is what we need to improve. So for all that time, I was worried, thinking, oh, why aren't I hitting the mark? I was reading, you know, looking at the cover of the book rather than reading the book. And I was unnecessarily being concerned about the impact I was having, where they actually had a really good time and look like they're going to be doing it against it.
Okay, look, let me put it to you in something that I understand and you as well. When we're up there singing in our bands and doing gigs and what have you, similar thing, you're in front of people, you're thinking, what song will I do next? I'll do that song next. That'll get them. And it doesn't. Or, you know, you clear the dance floor or something like that.
Clearing the dance floor, I know that. And that's a very good observation. So if your intention is to make them dance, then you get them on there, and the next song plays and they get off, well, then you haven't hit the mark, right? Because people say, oh, I'd rather go have a drink or I'd rather go and sit down.
Yeah.
But if the job is to entertain like we do, mate, if the job is to entertain, it doesn't mean if they're not dancing, well, then maybe they're still being entertained. And you no doubt have been in a similar situation to me where you've had a bloke at the back of the room just watching, arms folded, drinking his beer the whole night, and then he'll come up at the end and go, mate, that was fantastic.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And it's depending on what you want. If you want them to dance, well, then, you know, you might have missed out on that chance. But if you want to entertain the crowd, well, then that's another thing altogether.
And look, while we talk about music and your band, I think it would be remiss of us not to mention that the 2024 Housing Plus White Tie Ball this year will be featuring your band.
I can't believe it, my friend. It's a few months away yet. We'll have some good things to talk about on the way to that journey. But yeah, our Squid Munchies are coming up from Sydney, and we'll be having a really good time in Orange with that ball. We're very excited to have locked that in, and cannot wait to get a full crew supporting such a worthy charity for that.
Yeah, it always sells out. It'll sell out in record time because I think you are going to be there entertaining. That's for sure.
Can't wait. Well, you have to book in early if you want to come and see it.
Absolutely right. Anthony Vannici's with us this Monday morning. You can find out more at brainblinkers.com. Thanks as always, mate. Have a great day.
You too, buddy.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 6
on Orange and the Central West's 105.1 Triple M. This is the podcast edition.
And finally on this week's episode, the Cancer Council's Dancing with the Stars. It's a huge event each and every year that brings the town together, raising money for the great work that the Cancer Council do. And Dancing with the Stars, it is coming up not too far away as well. Tickets are also now on sale for the gala event. Thought we'd find out how our dancers are progressing. And joining us online from the Cancer Council, it's Cassandra Sullivan. Cassandra, how are they going? I trust that all preparations are well underway.
Oh, look, they're doing an amazing job. Yeah, it's our 10-year anniversary this year, and we've got 10 really diverse stars who are all just putting everything into this. So we're really proud of them. We're really excited about the event.
Yeah, absolutely. When is it on in Orange?
So it's on the 4th of May, on Saturday the 4th of May, and tickets still are available. So if anyone would like to come along, head to the website, Stars of Orange.
Okay, now the plan is for each of these dancers obviously to entertain on the night, but there's a fundraising goal that they've each set themselves.
Yeah, look, I guess, yes, they certainly do entertain on the night, but first and foremost, it is a fundraiser and a hugely important one for Cancer Council. And this year, because of our 10-year anniversary, we sort of set ourselves a big, hairy, audacious goal of raising $10,000 per star. And a lot of them have already exceeded that goal, so we couldn't be more thrilled. But importantly, I think everyone is just doing their best. It's quite a tough environment to raise funds in, and I think everyone's just doing their bit. So really proud of all of them. Regardless of the amount that they've raised, they're all definitely putting in all of their effort. So, yeah, we're really thankful and grateful for that.
How many dancers do we have for the night?
We've got 10 this year, 10 groups of stars. We're really excited about that. 10 years, 10 groups of stars.
And they team up with some more professional dancers, and no disrespect to any of our stars, of course, but they do get some guidance and some training along the way.
Absolutely. We certainly couldn't hold this function without our amazing dance schools. So we're forever indebted to the dance schools in Orange. They all come on board every year and they just do such a phenomenal job. The dancers are so professional and the stars really enjoy the process. So, yeah, thank you so much to all of our dance schools who are just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, tickets are on sale for the gala event.
That's right, yeah. Tickets are still on sale. There's not many left, so be quick. If you just Google Stars of Orange, it's the first website that comes up and you can buy tickets on that website. And also, if you can't make the event but you're wanting to support the stars, head to that same website or follow us on Instagram, Stars of Orange. A number of the stars are holding their own little events in the lead-up, so if you can't make the actual event, there's lots of things that you can participate in and do your bit to help us get to our goal.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Stars of Orange. Now, there's also a Bathurst event, there's a Dubbo event. So right around the Central West, plenty of locals are getting involved.
Yeah, that's right. We've got our Dubbo event coming up on the 12th of April, and Bathurst will be next year. So, yeah, and, you know, truly our community are just so supportive, and we just can't believe how the community get behind these events. So we're very grateful and very appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely right. I'm with Cassandra Sullivan from the Cancer Council, and we're talking about Stars of Orange this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, support where you can. And, of course, if you are heading along, you better grab your tickets very, very soon indeed. Cass, nice to chat. Thanks for your time.
Lovely to chat. Thank you so much.
Neil Gill for breakfast.
Anytime you want on Listener.
And that concludes this week's episode of the Triple M Central West Breakfast Podcast. And you can join me again next week right here on the Listener app. Thanks very much for your company and have a great week.
Sometimes Neil Gill for breakfast doesn't all fit in between 6 and 9 each morning.
So this is where we put the extra bits. All the bits you may have missed. Neil Gill for breakfast.
The podcast. Anytime you want on Listener.